Lodge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Police have arrested 22 people outside Oregon's Portland State University campus library as officers moved to clear the building, which was occupied by protesters. Police say they encountered barricades in the building. Over 200 people were arrested as people cleared out a tent camp at UCLA, says the LA County Sheriff's Office. Affecting millions in regional commerce, the closing of part of I-95 in southwestern Connecticut after a fiery crash this morning. One trucker.
I'm coming from New Haven, and it got stuck out here for 6 hours so far.
Crane overnight will lift and take away a bridge damaged by the fire. Hamas says it's sending a delegation to Egypt as soon as possible to continue Gaza's ceasefire talks. 4 years in prison, part of the sentence by a federal judge in L.A. for a scuba dive boat captain for criminal negligence after 34 people died in a fire aboard the boat off Santa Barbara in 2019. This is ABC News. A snapshot of who was arrested at the New York campus demonstrations.
A preliminary breakdown by the NYPD of demonstrators arrested Tuesday night at Columbia University and the City College of New York shows nearly half were not affiliated with either schools. At Columbia, 32 people were unaffiliated with the school, but about 80 were affiliated. At City College, 102 people were not affiliated, 68 were. There's still more analysis to go, including the university's cross-checking the names to verify those with legitimate ties to the schools. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers want restrictions on the use of facial recognition technology by the Transportation Security Administration. Senators say they're concerned about privacy and civil liberties. Months after the deadly and devastating wildfires that destroyed Maui's Lahaina, Hawaii lawmakers have appropriated funds for more firefighting equipment as well as a state fire marshal. It was an up day on Wall Street. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. And on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak will start a second passenger train route between St. Paul and Chicago later this month. The Borealis trains begin service on the 21st. The new trains follow the current Empire Builder route between St. Paul and Milwaukee and the Hiawatha stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. There'll be 8 stops in Wisconsin. Donald Trump telling a Waukesha rally Wednesday he supports the law enforcement crackdown on the pro-Palestinian protest encampment at UW-Madison.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Police say 34 people were arrested, but only 4 of them went to jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have the day off before facing the Cubs tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Milwaukee with a half-game lead over Chicago. The Brewers' Willy Adames with 3 home runs and 8 RBI in just the last 2 days on how his team is in first place when no one thought they'd be this good.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, we always been battling the whole year. We never give up, and I guess that tells you, you know, how good of a team we are. You know, we always playing hard, you know, battling, and, you know, just trying to win some games. And for us to bounce back after that Yankees series, I think it was huge. You know, now going on the road, facing the Cubs, you know, hopefully we can, you know, go there and do the same thing.
NBA Game 6. The Bucks down 3-2 to the Pacers tonight in Indy. Dame and Giannis doubtful again. Doc Rivers on how Chris Middleton has performed.
He's been amazing. Chris was on both ends, played a lot of minutes, wanted to stay in. He gave us everything.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, maybe a lingering shower, then a partly cloudy sky by tomorrow morning, lows upper 30s to 40. Sun's back and looking a little warmer for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Then clouds and rain return for Saturday, highs around 60, but sunny in mid-60s Sunday. It's 46 right now.
Next up, we've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She's going to be talking to me about Trump's visit to Waukesha this week. We'll also have Terry Barr and Civic Media's own news director, Terry Belt.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
So our question tonight is, where would you go to Airbnb in an iconic location from like TV or movies? Steve from the 920 says, I could tell the Bucks game is over because now everybody's starting to text. As a young kid, I would have spent a weekend with Opie on the Andy Griffith Show as a young teenager, the Brady Bunch as a 21-year-old, Baywatch, and as an older adult playing Kramer's dad on Seinfeld. As you know, they never talked about Kramer's family, only Jerry's and George's. That's true, Steve, except they did reference Kramer's mom from time to time. Babs Kramer was her name. And it's not often, but they do mention her. But those are all great places. I think everybody, like, thinks about the Andy Griffith Show. That was kind of before my time, but it does look heavenly. When they do the opening credits and they're walking with their fishing poles, it's like kind of what everybody thinks America is, right?
Mayberry would be a good spot.
Yeah.
I like that.
But the Brady Bunch house, too, that's good. That's a good one.
For sure.
No one's going to argue with Baywatch.
No.
Conrad, you're Joey and Chandler. You could watch Baywatch with those guys.
Exactly.
I used to love that show. So that's great, though, Steve. Thank you for weighing in on that. And the Bucks lost, I guess.
Yeah. It's too bad. I must have been bad luck bringing back the Andrew Bogut 05 jersey today. So
I'll take the heat on that one. Motorcycle, though, man. You're playing up the image. That fits for rap or rock and roll outside the window.
Yeah, I got the VIP parking and everything. It's incredible.
We knew you were coming, and they're not charging you at this hour either. So right, that's nice, right. too. So, you know, we were talking about recording, and you said when you go in there and your time is valuable. Did you ever see the movie Once?
I don't think I have.
It's set in Ireland, and I forget the name of the actor, but he plays a guitar and he sings and he's trying to get his music going. And his dad, I think, fixes vacuum cleaners or something like that in this little town in Ireland. And it's just a sweet story. And he connects with this piano player and they make music together. He finally gets enough money to go in and record his song. And they're in the studio. And the guy, the engineer, is going through the motions. He took the money, like whatever. He sets the board up.
Yeah.
And then he just leans back with the newspaper like he couldn't care less. So they're playing this song. And there's a very subtle moment where the guy looks from behind the paper and he just goes, and he starts caring more because he likes what they're doing.
Right.
Just a great, very beautiful, subtle moment in the movie Once.
I like that.
I recommend it.
Because that's a real thing. I can only imagine some of the artists that these guys got to put up with that.
Oh, right.
You know, they can afford it, right? But they get in there and it's like, oh boy, what are we going to do with these vocals?
Right. So, Matt Harper is my guest. He is a local musician here in Northeast Wisconsin. Matt, what is your favorite part from when you get an idea, a germ for a song idea to the final when it's done and you can actually send it to people, show it to people?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the process?
I love so much of it, but I'd have to, if I got to narrow it down, I definitely think my favorite part is when we start vocal tracking, because that's when the song really starts alive. So when you're adding the vocals over the instruments, I love starting to hear it back for the first time, because I've already sung it out loud to myself and it sounds completely different, but you hear it recorded. And then usually, you know, with the team that I record with, you know, they're throwing in like, hey, try to sing it this way, or maybe do the delivery like this, or instead of this timing, try to sing it in this timing.
Yeah.
And that stuff is just so fun to me, because all of a sudden it becomes like a completely different song than I heard in my head originally.
Right.
But my other favorite part is definitely when you write like the chorus part of it and you're like, okay, I like where this is, because I usually start there. Like I get the chorus part down and then kind of fill in the verses around it. Like I get the idea of the song, I go there and then back. So then, you know, you kind of see the song build that way too. I guess maybe it's a little bit of my mindset from being in the construction trades my whole life, but you get to see the building come out of the ground. And this is kind of like you get to see the song come out of the ground as you, as you work from point A to point B.
Or in the movie business, they say you give birth when you get a movie made, and it's like, that's really interesting. So I totally lost my train of thought because I was trying to think of a joke for when you said construction. Yeah. And I got sidetracked. That's
There's
how my
a lot
ADD
of them. There's
is.
A lot of them. Yeah.
So
I live in one big joke every day.
So you're going to do another song for us?
Absolutely.
All right. What's this one called?
So this song is called Burn It. I actually wrote this one. The inspiration was I heard we kind of put the music together, and it reminded me of something we would have played like before a high school football game, like on our warm up mix. So the lyrics are a lot about, you know, I pictured myself walking into, you know, we're the away team, you know, walking into a hostile crowd, like a rivalry game, like Appleton East, Appleton West thing back in when I played, and you know, everybody's booing, everybody wants you to do bad, and it's like we're gonna show up, we're gonna give them everything we have, we're gonna burn this whole place to the ground. So
love it. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is Matt Harper, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the studio here on Nightlight.
Okay, it's like a hit squad. They drawing down on us. Yeah, we're the bad guys. We're just so villainous. They wanna point us out. Oh yeah, I call that bluff. I come to level up. Not done until the war is won. We over. Hatred is wasted. Just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up, show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up. Burn this whole place down, scorched earth. What is this victory worth? Man, this is nothing new. I've been underrated since birth. It's like a curse. The weight, it only gets worse. The more hate they bring, the more venom in the verse. So who wanna step first? Lay down in the dirt. It's a hard lesson learned. All these bridges that I burn, all these stones that I turn, I never been concerned, cause I worked and I earned to get what I deserve. Hit them first, it's wasted, just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it, we don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Burn this whole place down.
Burn this whole place to the ground. Burn this whole place to the ground.
this whole place to the ground.
We burn it to the ground. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? To the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Burn this whole place to the ground.
Man, your high school football games were intense.
we thought we were pretty intense. We didn't win a lot of games, but we rocked out before.
Oh, man, that's great. And it's hard. I just want to tell people, like, it is hard. Like, you're sitting down. Yeah. This isn't like a live
performance.
That's
unnatural. Like, I've never done either one of those songs sitting down before.
That's impressive.
Like,
no,
I don't know.
I know
what to do with my hands, you know? It's like,
it's great. So, when you go in to produce something, Matt, and this is something I didn't know before a few years ago. I was listening to Butch Vig talk, and he said when artists used to come in, when he was a student at Madison, before they did like all the Nevermind albums and all that,
sure,
people would come in, and he would say, if you want it that way, you're ruining your record.
Wow.
Like, a guy comes in with a song or a girl comes in, and he's saying, don't do it like that, and he would put his spin on it, and it would be a hit.
Yeah.
That's what a producer can do.
100%.
Like, you made this great song, but how do they elevate it? How do they know how to elevate it? What do they do?
You got to find people. Like, the best guy, I'm fortunate enough to have two really good guys. I have Miko Marhol of Walkies with Ghost Mob Entertainment. I have Dave Patella from Source Track Studios in Appleton, actually. They're both just fantastic. They work with artists of different backgrounds. They've been around the music industry for a long time. They know what a good record sounds like and what a bad record sounds like. And they just have this ability that I don't have at all. Like, I come there, I've got ideas, I've got this music, you know, they're like, just sing the song all the way through for me, let me hear it. And to your point, they're like, yep, I would change the delivery in that first verse. You know, you're coming in really hot, really loud, let's tone that down a little bit. How about we add in, you know, an ad lib here, we add in some layers, or I actually just did on my latest song some harmonies, which I've never done before in my life. So he's like, I just think this chorus will sound so much better with a little bit low end harmony with it. And it their brain just works differently. It's the only way I can really explain it. They hear something that nobody else can hear. Even when we're going through the mixing and mastering phase, the stuff that they pick out, I'm like, I would have never, ever heard that. And I'm pretty picky and hard on myself too when we're in that process. But they're, you know, this volume just needs to go up, you know, like one decibel, and it'll make the whole song.
Isn't
that crazy? It's nuts. It's nuts.
And the hardest thing is the writing of the song. Like coming up with actual material.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Honestly, for me, the lyrics have just always come really easy. I've just always had an easy time with that. Where I struggle the most is probably like with melodies and with just certain deliveries, and especially with trying to blend two different kinds of music together. You know, like even just the last song I did, Burn It, it's got, you know, really like trap southern rap type feel to the verses, but then it's like a metal song in the chorus.
Right.
So you're trying to not make it sound like you just copied and pasted two completely different songs together that don't mesh. So, you know, that part can be difficult for sure at times.
We have about 30 seconds left. Where can people see your stuff?
So my website is mattharpermusic.com. I'm on all the streaming platforms. So just look up Matt Harper on your favorite streaming service. I'm on all of them. Instagram is at mharpermusic. Facebook, Matt Harper. So probably the easiest place to find me.
Very cool. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Anytime.
I really do. So
that's Matt Harper. Check out his stuff. All the places he just told you, he is out there. And you could see him soon, too, and look for his stuff to come out. Great stuff. When we come back, Rich Williams, comedian, writer, and comedy. We'll be here on Nightlight. That's coming up next. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
So, I failed to mention this when Matt was on, but David Mooney just wrote Prophecy. And that was like some inside joke between he and Matt, but Matt got it. And then Bridget from the 818 says, The Crown is my inspiration for an Airbnb. She'd love to stay at Buckingham Palace. so many bedrooms to choose from. You want to know an idiot I am?
About what?
Okay. So I started watching The Crown. Okay. Everybody's watching The Crown. I just started doing this show like 5 months ago. I go, you know, I should watch The Crown. I started it, and Princess Di is on it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird for a first episode. I'm flashing back. I watched like the first two episodes of season six, and then I like couldn't go back and watch it. So that's my, I loved it. It was great. All right. So, hey, tomorrow night, Nightlight, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times, the entertainment reporter, will be here. Rob's stuff is great. Check out his Substack, and we're going to talk about the Fall Guy. He did a review today in the Capital Times. It was great. Barr will be here to review new music. She will be showcasing, she and Rocker and Jimmy on Max Inc. Saturday night. So, as always, fun to talk to Terry. And she'll be calling in live from a concert, which I think is kind of cool.
And she's actually going to the Mascot Theory.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We had
Eric on.
Eric on the other night. It's great stuff. Yeah, there's some great music out there. Okay. I'm very excited to welcome this next guest to the show. He and I worked together on a show called Sports Soup. We were both writers, and he was a fellow stand-up comic, a very successful comic. And a terrific writer, too, and a good friend of mine. I'd like to welcome Rich Williams to Nightlight. Rich, how are you?
Pete, I almost didn't make it here. I was out protesting, not all the stuff going on with the conflict. I was at the library. I'm furious that you thought Hogwarts was a real place.
Listen.
You have kids that were that age that read those books. How did you not know it was fiction?
I did. I knew it was fiction. I meant like where they filmed it. I've been to the library and I've pro Dewey Decimal System, but I don't. Rich, you look good, man. You look like cooler every time I see you.
You know what I'm going for?
Tell me.
I grew the mustache so I could look like your IMDb photo.
How is it that
I got for you? Yeah. Hold on. I got a pitch for the show. I'm very excited to be here.
Likewise.
Instead of Nightlight. How about lights, camera, Schwabba?
Conrad, take a memo. I like it.
Sounds good.
Let's run it by the brass.
Keep your eye on that Conrad. I Googled him.
He gets Googled a lot.
He looks like a passing, a blocking only tight end.
You saying I can't catch or what?
I'm saying you only care about protecting your guy, the QB, okay, which is Pete Schwabba. And if he doesn't treat you right, you're going to leave for Matt.
is that like a move tight end? I always hear that, and I never know what they're talking about. Oh, he's more of a move tight end. I don't know.
Could be.
All right.
Could be. Yeah.
So last time I saw you, Rich, you had this like awesome Hemingway look going. But I like the mustache, though, and I appreciate the shout-out. That was my COVID picture. Somehow I can't get it off IMDb, so I'm stuck forever with a picture from COVID, and I don't. And then I did Jimmy Pardo's podcast, and that's the picture they found online. I'm like, come on, really? Like, I can't get rid of that picture. It looks better on you.
It reminds you of the good old days of the lockdowns, huh?
Yeah, the lockdowns, Burt Reynolds films, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. But,
how are you, buddy?
I'm well. It's so crazy to see you in this type of environment. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
I'm filled with questions.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten to meet meteorologist Mace Michaels? I call him 3M.
It's actually M-E-A-T, Meet Mace Michaels. He does he gives you meat and he does a forecast every time.
Ah, I love that.
It's a really, he's got cornered the market.
No, but this is such a cool show. I've been watching as I was getting ready for it, and you get to play real music. It's not the copyright free music.
Right. Yeah, we do. Right? I mean, we can do that. We haven't been called out on it yet, so
no, we're good.
Rich just alerted the FCC. Yeah, it's fun. It's
which
a fun
by the
show.
Way, if you ever add this to your rotation, most people don't know this, but I'm a huge fan of Talk Talk, that song, It's My Life.
Oh, my God. One of my all-time favorite songs, Rich.
This is going to blow your mind if you don't know it. That whole love affair he's talking about, you should be in the relationship. If you should not be in, how much should I commit? I watched an Italian broadcast of them in the 80s when they were new and it just came out. And he explained it. He was talking about his relationship with music.
No way.
That's like you and I in show business. Look at what we're doing right now.
I love it, man.
No, but really, it was literally about, should I fully go in with music?
That's so cool. What was that?
You can Google it. I mean, on YouTube, it's some Italian TV show, I think from 87.
Jeez.
And, yeah, at the end, the presenter's speaking in Italian, then going into English. And he's like, it's my life. What? He goes, yeah, music.
God,
it's my life.
I love that. You know what I do when I leave here at night? I have about an hour drive. When my wife thinks she's the boss and bosses me around and thinks she's so big, that's the song I play. It's my life.
I love that you try to limit it to that hour.
Right. Well, there's the comedian that does the joke about, told my wife she's not the boss and she doesn't own me. If I want to call my friends from the mall at halftime of the Super Bowl to find out the score, I'm going to do it. Is that Ed Driscoll maybe? Such a great
joke. That's wonderful.
So are you doing much stand-up?
See, I love
these
that.
Days? Are you doing stand-up, Rich?
Well, I got back into it recently. The lockdowns made it impossible.
Yeah.
I fall in and out of love with stand-up at times. I got back into it when I first moved back to my town of Schenectady from Los Angeles in 2012. I went through a bad breakup, and that pushed me back into comedy.
Wow.
And then 3 years ago, right in the middle of lockdowns, January 2021, I turned 50 and I had a heart attack. And you'll love
what?
This. I so do not want help from people. I drove myself to the emergency room.
Oh my
They're like,
God.
Yeah, you're having a heart attack right now. So I had a triple bypass. I'm fully covered. The doctor said I could start smoking again. That's how well I'm doing. And then I started doing this YouTube channel just because I'm disabled. I have this weird balance order. You remember, I used to sleep underneath the cubicle at work to reset my brain. And I needed something to do. So, you know how when you're a more experienced comic, you see the younger comics making mistakes, rookie things, like they don't move the mic stand. And I would find so many headliners would be like, oh, what an idiot. And I said, yeah, because they don't know.
They just don't know.
So I started doing it. Yeah, I started doing a channel for that. And then it got more into how to write a joke, what not to do, all those types of things. More like, and then self-help stuff as well.
Let's pick that up. That's where we'll pick up next. I love that you're here, man. And I'm glad you're doing okay. I had no idea about the heart attack. So I'm glad you're here and you're making me laugh, buddy. This is Rich Williams. We're going to get to know him a little bit more. Coming up next, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thing to me. I just wanna dance the night.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Police have arrested 22 people outside Oregon's Portland State University campus library as officers moved to clear the building, which was occupied by protesters. Police say they encountered barricades in the building. Over 200 people were arrested as people cleared out a tent camp at UCLA, says the LA County Sheriff's Office. Affecting millions in regional commerce, the closing of part of I-95 in southwestern Connecticut after a fiery crash this morning. One trucker.
I'm coming from New Haven, and it got stuck out here for 6 hours so far.
Crane overnight will lift and take away a bridge damaged by the fire. Hamas says it's sending a delegation to Egypt as soon as possible to continue Gaza's ceasefire talks. 4 years in prison, part of the sentence by a federal judge in L.A. for a scuba dive boat captain for criminal negligence after 34 people died in a fire aboard the boat off Santa Barbara in 2019. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School is canceled in Mount Horeb, where a would-be school shooter put the community on high alert Wednesday. Gunshots prompted local schools to lock down for several hours. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
We currently believe that there is no ongoing threat to public safety. But again, this is an ongoing investigation, and we will update the public if any additional threat to safety is discovered.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning online shoppers about scams. DATCAP recommends making sure everything's in order before entering personal information on any website. DATCAP says you should pay close attention to typos or other irregularities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Benson and Stabler still haven't kissed, much to the dismay of fans, but viewers might get their wish. The two staples of the Dick Wolf Law & Order franchise have teased fans for the better part of two decades regarding their unrequited romance. Mariska Hargitay says they almost kissed on season 24 in an episode of SVU, but the show's producers bailed at the last minute. When the actors saw that there was nothing written kiss-wise in season 25, they were surprised. Chris Maloney's character, Elliot Stabler, left SVU after 12 years. Now he heads up the cast of the show Law & Order Organized Crime, where there has been lots of crossover with SVU. Hargitay says it still might happen, but they want to hold the tension and do what is realistic for the characters, hinting that fans should not give up yet. There's always season 26 or 27 or 42. The show will never end. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, maybe a lingering shower, then a partly cloudy sky by tomorrow morning, lows upper 30s to 40. Sun's back and looking a little warmer for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Then clouds and rain return for Saturday, highs around 60, but sunny in mid-60s Sunday. It's 46 right now.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matinair on Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pichwaba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pichwaba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back. It's Thursday night. We're hanging out. We're broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night, talking show business, movies, entertainment, comedy, all the things that we love and that bring us together. And my guest right now is a very good friend of mine and a very funny guy, Rich Williams. Rich, you were talking about teaching comedy at YouTube and how you got into that during during COVID, right?
No, it was, excuse me, this last September, I just had a point in my life where I didn't have any purpose or direction, and I've always liked helping people. And so I always wanted to make a YouTube channel, and I'm going to make another one just for self-help. I'm a certified therapist. I think when I was working with you, I was getting certified at this, you know, it's basically clown college to people who aren't familiar with hypnosis, but, oh, do you have crystals? And so, yeah, I just started making videos, and then I made 100 videos in 100 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just felt, I did something crazy as far as being a YouTuber. It's a small channel. There's like close to 900 subscribers now. It's only been up for 6 or 7 months. Ah. But I said, if anybody watching this channel wants me to review their set and them suggestions, punch it up, send me an email, and then I would just send me a phone number, and I'd just call people at like 10 o'clock at night. Hey, it's Rich from YouTube.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's so cool though. Like anybody that wants to do this. Well, all right. So if there are people listening now, and I love that it's online, how can they, what's the site called?
Secrets of Stand-Up Comedy.
Okay.
Just go to YouTube and put in Secrets of Stand-Up Comedy. I had a recent video that did fairly well. I don't like the show to Kill Tony because I just feel like it's not set up right for comics to succeed. So I advise comics not to do it, even though what I say is not going to stop it. It's a huge success. And then a lot of things about writing. The biggest problem that I find comics have, especially when they're starting out or kind of mid-range, is they write and they think, I have to be a comedian. So they try to write like a comedian, or when they go on stage, they try to perform, I'm a comedian, instead of just being themselves and kind of roasting life.
Right. That's interesting. Have you seen
like when we would sit around?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, like when you and I and Genzer and Roger Rittenhouse and Trevor would sit around in the writer's room for Sports Soup, you and we weren't doing setup punch to each other.
Right.
We were just making fun of each other.
Right. It was very natural. Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So did you watch this? Have you been watching the Steve Martin, the new in two parts or whatever, his new documentary?
No. Was it on HBO or something? There's so many services now.
Yeah, I think on Apple TV, and I watched the first hour and a half. It's really interesting. It's kind of him saying how he found his comedic voice, and it's very similar to what you're saying. He's like, I don't want to just do jokes. I want to talk about the part that leads up to the joke, that's the awkward part or whatever, like those nuances. It's so great. I'd love to know what you think of it. Well, that's really cool.
I read his book, and fascinating about him, if you really study what he did, and the same thing with Andy Kaufman. So Andy Kaufman, he would spend all his days of his childhood thinking that the wall in his room was the TV screen and there were kids on the other side of it.
Oh my gosh.
And he would perform as if he was doing a show for those other kids. That's why his comedy, when he does the Mighty Mouse thing and he's, you know, licking, it's like what a kid's show, but for adults. So Steve Martin, he got his break doing magic and then comedy at the Disney theme park.
Yeah.
I don't know if Disneyland, Disney World, and he was doing those family shows. And so it had to be silly and family friendly and fun. And you could see that in his stand-up years later.
Yeah, for sure. So you've done a lot of writing too. What's your favorite? Like, you're a very successful stand-up comic. I was always so envious of you on Sports Soup because you're always the guy that could come up with that joke in a heartbeat. Like, they would call the writers over to the camera, guys, we need a joke here. This isn't working. I would immediately go, say something before Rich, say something before Rich, because I would overthink it or whatever. Like, my brain just didn't work like that. So you're so good on the spot with jokes. What's your favorite kind of writing? I also know you ghost wrote a lot of screenplays. So you've done kind of it all. What's your favorite kind of comedy to do?
I love, I love writing for other people because it's so much easier for me to write for someone else's voice than my own. And so I tell comics, if you can write about anything, you will write about nothing. But if I'm going in and, like, when I was writing for Tom Arnold, I knew his voice. Or when I was writing for Larry the Cable Guy for a Super Bowl special, Howie Long's Tough Guys, I knew the types of jokes to write for him. So I really enjoy that part of it.
That's interesting. It's very well said. You also worked on, and we'll get to Sports Soup at some point here, but you also worked on a pretty cool show, I always thought, and it was a no-brainer that they hired you at Sports Soup because you wrote on the best damn show, period, which is kind of a groundbreaking show, right?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was Saturday Night Live meets The Tonight Show for sports.
Yeah. What was that experience
kind
like?
Kind of the view. It was great. The only thing that was challenging for me personally, it was my first TV job. I was in LA for a couple of years. So I'm all gung-ho. And I see it as Saturday Night Live for sport. We had Derek Jeter come on. And this is where I bumped heads. And they eventually let me go because of it. I fought too hard for the jokes. Derek Jeter had been on Saturday Night Live the week before. And they said, we're so excited. We're going to see if we can get the clearances to show those clips. And I went into my boss's office. I go, we're comedy writers. We have Derek Jeter. Let's do our own sketches with him.
Right.
And so that's what I always push for. Like, hey, we're just as talented as anybody else. And we know sports. Let's really take advantage of that.
Right. It's interesting because on Sports Soup, and for those of you listening, Sports Soup was like the soup with Joel McHale, only sports related. And I've said this before on this show, and I've had Genzer and Roger on just recently, Rich, and they said, you know, to me, I call it like one of the best gigs I've ever had because it was like, mostly it was fun in the room. Like you said, we'd always rip on each other and we'd play jokes on each other and we got to watch sports and write jokes about it. And I mean, what more could you ask for as a comedian?
I literally would, because each of us would get assigned our own shows to watch. And then we had the computer set up where we could clip those shows like people do for YouTube now. And I remember one time, and you wanted to get the crazy show. I had, who's the crazy guy? The rock and roll, Ted Nugent.
Oh yeah.
I had his hunting show.
Okay.
So that was gorgeous for me. But I remember I was a Cowboys fan. And you guys always break our hearts, you Green Bay Packers. and I'm like, I want to cover that tonight because I could watch it from home, write down the what quarter and what time and find all the funny things and then go into work. And half my work was done for the day.
Right. That is pretty cool. And you just reminded me of something. What we would do is we would get our clips from shows, cover a lot of UFC stuff. And we would all, like, the writers, the staff, everybody had shows assigned. We would go into a big room, it'd be like 30 people. We'd all show the clips. They'd say, all right, Rich, what do you have? Pete, what do you have? And there, one of the writers, Roger Rittenhouse, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, someone was teasing him about being older and not knowing technology and that kind of stuff. And it was his turn to show his clips. And you're expecting to see something sports. The clip that clipped the wrong thing and it said, if you need no Windows, call this number. It's like a Windows commercial. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder in my life at that moment. It was so beautiful, but just so many great.
He's so funny.
One of the greatest joke writers ever. You talk about Larry the Cable Guy. I know he wrote for Larry. He wrote for Dooley. And he, oh my God, just hilarious. What we were talking about before, Rich, when you when you fight for jokes, what I thought was interesting, and I don't know if people realize this, when you pitch a joke that you love, there is a fine line how hard you fight for it. And I think John Moore, our boss on that show, the head writer, sometimes he wouldn't take jokes that maybe were too edgy or whatever, and we'd get kind of mad. And then I realized someone told me, and I don't know if it was KP or what, but said, you know, the reason this show is on so long is he's making the network happy. So where is the fine line? Because you want to work. So how hard do you fight for the jokes? Like on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, would you do things differently if you could?
100%. 100%. So we had an original executive producer who didn't know anything about sports. It was the funniest thing in the world. But he came from NBC and he had a pedigree working for Brandon Tartikoff and all that type of stuff. Then he was let go because the vice president of Fox Sports oversaw the show and he loved it. It became like his pet project. He became in charge, the executive producer, and he was not a comedy guy at all. Like
wow.
One time, one of the writers said something in a pitch meeting as like, let's see if we can make George laugh at something that's not funny. And he goes, who's this guy think he is? The king of France? And George cracks up laughing. And I'm like, oh no, we've run afoul here. And so I didn't realize till later, like, what am I fighting for a joke for? Yes, I want the show to be funny, but like, it's not, my family's not even watching tonight's episode. What do I care?
Oh, that's so funny. The inside jokes are the best too, because I remember like it was John Moore and Greg Heller were the two guys that were running the show, and they would call people in and they would mess with them. And my day came and they called me in and they said, can you remember anything you might have said that was offensive or would have been offensive to people with different sexual preferences? And right away your blood goes up and I'm like, oh my God, what? No, like started looking for stuff. And I mean, they were just so good at that because they did it with a straight face. And I thought, I'm going to lose my job. I got two kids at home. You know, I was scared to death.
Yeah.
That they might have taken something out of me.
They did it with me. They told me my mom died. And I said, again?
Oh, my God. So, all right. So you've read.
That show was. Wait, one real quick thing, because sure. I never got a chance to follow up with you on this. Funniest thing, Facebook was just really blowing up at that time.
Yeah.
And when we would have downtimes in between watching our shows, we would, all of us in our cubes, the writers would joke around about. And one of my favorite segments that we would do is you would read one of your Facebook friends' descriptions of what they ate. Do you remember back in the days? People would post pictures of their meal at a restaurant. And then you would read out what that person wrote as if you were that person. And it was always funny to me because I never even saw a picture of them, but I knew who they were.
They were just very pretentious and they wanted you to know they were drinking fine wine, and they would use phrases like very excited for tonight to have friends over for mixed grill. I'm like, oh my gosh. I am going to throw your barbecue down the hill. It's so pretentious. A Cote d'Iron and mixed grill. And it's so bad.
And now think about Facebook.
Yeah.
And what it became. Can you imagine someone talking about capers nowadays?
All right. My guest is Rich Williams. We got a few more minutes of him coming up next. I'm going to give you a chance, Rich, on me too, for renting two apartments at the same time. We can do that if you want to. So Rich Williams is here. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did I fall?
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back. My old pal Rich Williams closing down the show with me tonight here on Nightlight. Rob Thomas will be here from the Capital Times and Terry Barr. Don't miss out on that. And Tuesday, I'll be doing a remote from the Minocqua Brewing Company on East Washington in Madison. So if you're in the Madison area, stop by there. That will be a very fun show. John and Gordy will be there from the WMDX Morning Show. And a lot of other fun musicians and guests will join us as well. Rich, we got a few more minutes. You just reminded me of another thing I did to do to Genzer. Like every time, remember when Facebook would say like so-and-so and so-and-so are now friends? They would announce that, like whether you wanted them to or not, would always make a comment whenever Genzer became friends with someone. I would say, it's about time you two, like I knew them both. And I didn't know the other person, but Genzer would just crack up. And then he met this real girl and he actually sent me a message. He goes, hey, man, do me a favor. Please don't make that joke this time because you really like this girl. Oh, it's funny.
There was a time probably in 2016 and 18, everybody's arguing about politics. I don't want to get into any of that stuff, but because people would be so riled up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would go on strangers' Facebook profiles when they were doing that. They were just screaming about politics or it could be anything. I just write, and I don't know them. I would just write, you weren't like this growing up. And then I'd block them. And then make them try to think, did I go to high school, middle school with this kid? Who?
Oh, my God. I love that. And then you would call YouTube and tell them what they're doing wrong with their, stand-up.
Years later, God, came back. Funny. By the way, I want to get this in real quick. It's not funny. It's heartfelt. I hope the people in... whoever's listening to this and the people employing you and everyone out in that area realize how lucky they are to have you.
Wow.
The idea that you not only sold a blockbuster movie that you appeared in, which is smart because when I was ghostwriting, I had to write the characters' names as guys I went to in my fraternity, went to college with, so people would know that I was actually doing it. But you directed a movie about Green Bay and like you've had such success and now you're there and you're doing this. And it's, I just think it's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll Venmo you the $50 I said. No, that's very nice. Thank you. And, but it's fun to talk about, like I've done different things and, you know, whatever, like we all have. So it is fun to talk about stuff and have old friends on the show that just make me laugh. So, before we get, you know, Rich, I always respected your opinion when you've written some interesting stuff about Chappelle on Facebook over the years. Who are your favorites now? Who are you listening to and who do you think is great?
It's like modern music. I had a friend, Jerry Parzigian. He ran the Jeffersons. He worked on the Golden Girls. Great friends. He's like the Gump of the music industry. He was in Yellow Rose at David Lee Roth. That video, he was the immigrant grocer and he was complaining about music. You know, today's music stinks. And I go, you have all of the music and recorded history available to you. So When I laugh, I listen to Norm Macdonald and Patrice O'Neill.
Wow.
They're my two top favorite comics. The other one that I would say, Shane Gillis is the newest one that I could sit down and actually, because once you're a comic, you know this. After a while, you know all the tricks. So comedy has been kind of ruined for me as an audience member. But I'd say Shane is the current one that I really think Theo Vaughn is hilarious in a podcast setting. I've seen a little of his stand-up and I thought it was good, but him on a podcast is just magical.
That's really good to know. My son Joe, pardon me, is 23 now, and he's doing improv and stand up and stuff like that. And he introduced me to Shane Gillis, or introduced me to his comedy. I cannot believe how funny that guy is. When he does the joke about the guy, how much guts it took to propose the Special Olympics, that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. And
good, because I've never heard it.
Oh, so you got to Google it.
Now I get to watch something. Yeah.
I'll send you a link. It's truly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So, and Norm Macdonald.
You're going to send it from this.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. Are you going to send it from the studio or your first apartment or your moonlight apartment? This guy, I couldn't believe when we worked together at Sports Soup, Pete had two apartments in the same apartment complex, one with his family. And one, not so he could fool around. There was no hanky-panky. He just wanted to work more.
It kind of became a playroom, the whole apartment. And here's the crazy thing, Rich. And here's how it happened. We had this huge two-bedroom apartment, and it was rent-controlled. And I had two kids. I didn't want to leave. We were paying like $1,000 a month in L.A., and it had a night security and great parking and a pool. I just never wanted to leave. So my wife was going crazy, so I said, well, I don't want to give this apartment up. Why don't we just get an apartment? So we got a one-bedroom with no rent control. We were paying $1,800 for a month. So I was paying about $3,000 in rent, and then we ended up renting a house, which was even more. But it was insane. And I look back, and I think
For that kind of money in my hometown, Schenectady, New York, you could buy the old mall.
I just want the food court. I would do that. I would buy a mall. Oh, that's funny. I know. I don't know what I was thinking, but so were you friends with Norm Macdonald? You used to work with him, right?
We were never friends. I didn't get a chance to work with him, but I met him on a couple of occasions, and I was kind of romantically involved with someone that he romantically involved with, and it kind of overlapped. So that's the extent of it. But he was my comedic idol at that point in my career. Prior to that, it was a lot of different people. Bill Hitt, Anthony Clark.
Yeah,
Nobody seems to really
remember. What the heck happened to him?
His HBO New Faces Comedy Festival showcase was one of the funniest things I ever saw, and I kind of modeled my delivery after him.
I was kind of friends with him. I don't know whatever happened to him. It was weird. He just disappeared.
Yeah, he's back out there a bit. I've seen him on YouTube a bit, and I've seen some flyers, so it's good to see. I remember one night he was at the Improv, and there's the showroom and the little hallway that goes to the bathrooms but leads to the main bar and the place where you can eat. And he had a martini, and the woman was giving him a hard time about his jokes. He goes, "I'm sorry, but I'm a multimillionaire," and walked away.
Rich, we got to end it there. That's a great place to end it. This was so fun, buddy. Thank you. We got to do this again soon.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great night. Great seeing you. All right, pal. That's Rich Williams. Check him out. Google Rich Williams comedy. Learn how to do stand-up from one of the best. I'd like to thank Matt Harper, Rich Williams. Thank you for your text. Thank you, Conrad.
You're welcome.
You're tops, buddy. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. This is Peach Wob and the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time live from the Pablo Center in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for the premiere of When Rubber Hits the Road. One of the filmmakers, BJ Hollers, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.